We're doing the Navi Yeshaya. We're up to what's called the 34th chapter. And the Navi is describing the ultimate destruction of Edom. And the Navi is using poetic language. He's describing a day of revenge from Hashem. And I think the easiest way to understand this concept is if we speak about Gilgulim. Meaning, if we view the world as a recycling of the same souls, then we can understand the idea of taking revenge. Because otherwise, it's very hard to understand. Edom's been painting the Jewish people for a millennium. More, 2 millennia now. So there's going to be one period where Hashem takes revenge. How does that affect the 2 millennia of suffering we underwent? So if you view it that way, that's an easier way to understand it. There are other ways to understand it, but that's one way to understand it. If you want, just one other way to understand it is the Talmud discusses that after people pass away, they know what's going on in this world. Like Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov knew whether the Jewish people were suffering in Egypt or they were leaving. And we have many midrashim that discuss things that way, that Moshe's following what's going on here and that Yoshua's following what's going on here. And we discuss this often at a funeral. We speak about the person being a Melitz Yosher, that they should speak positively on our behalf in heaven. So you see that concept. We do view that concept that when one passes away, they're still attached to what goes on here. So then in that sense, it could be that when one sees the nation they've created being annihilated, the way Hashem's describing, Edom will ultimately be wiped out. So it could be that that's a greater punishment to the souls that passed away. That in some way, a soul that passes away still has hope when they have descendants, when they have a future, when there's a continuum, so there's always a potential that their actions will still breed positive. Now, we do this all the time in Judaism. We say, I'm going to do something positive as a meritorious act for that soul that passed away. Or we say, when people who are pious pass away, the Talmud says, technically, they don't need tombstones. Their actions are their tombstones. They live on in their positive actions. Well, perhaps there's this concept with a non-Jew as well, that there's this hope that the soul is watching what's going on down there and hoping maybe this action or this descendant that I brought to the world will do meritorious things that will go to my credit. And it could be that the destruction of Edom is even more meaningful in heaven than it is down below. That could also be. So those are two positive possible understandings of how this works. But we need to understand it, because otherwise, like, what's Hashem saying? After 2,000 years of suffering, finally there'll be a judgment day. What about all those people that spent 2,000 years torturing the Jewish people? So again, these are two approaches. There are more. Yes. Okay. So the Navi is describing how Edom will burn night and day, and different wild animals will take over the territory of Edom. So the Navi had said in the previous pasuk, Kiat, Vikipod, different birds that inhabit desolate places, Yanshuf and Orev, they're all names of of birds that take over desolation. they will take over, and Hashem says, I will draw upon it, Kavto Vavnevo, I will, so to speak, draw lines to delineate where Edom is. The same way when you build a place, you draw lines to show where you're building. So Hashem says, I will draw lines to delineate the area of destruction, the area of Edom. Pasuk Yud Bet. Chorea ve'en sham melucha yikrao. Chorea are the leaders, the nobles are going to stand, and none of them will be willing to take the throne. There's going to be such destruction, everyone's going to be scared to be called the leader. All the nobles will suddenly be extinct. The palaces of Edom will be covered with thorns. The word seer in ancient Hebrew is a thorn bush. In modern Hebrew, it's a pot. In ancient Hebrew, it was a thorn bush. The palaces of Edom will be covered with thorns. There will be many different types of thorns growing in the fortified cities of Edom, the cities that they thought were so protected. And different wild animals, tanim is a type of snake, will come to live there. Chatzil, it will be like a courtyard for Bnot Ya'ana, which is a desert bird, and also a bird that comes to live in desolate places. So Edom will be so destroyed that different types of thorns will take over, and snakes and wild birds and wild animals. Ufagishu tzihim et'im. And the different small animals will meet one another in Edom. They'll come there to inhabit Edom. Vesa'ir al re'ehu yikra. And the demons will call one another. Achsham hirgiya lilit. And they'll say, if we want to go find the female demon to mate with her, you can find her in Edom, because that's the place where she rests, because it'll be destroyed. That's where she finds place to rest. No one's going to come and bother her there. So the Navi's, here you see the Navi clearly speaks about demons. The word Sa'ir, just like Seir is Esav, so the word Sa'ir means goat, and Sa'ir also means a demon, a shade. And that is something to think about when we speak about the Sa'ir la'Azazel, that we send off a goat off the hilltop on Yom Kippur. So in some way that has relevance to this Sa'ir.
What's the
relevance? That's not for me to say. I don't know. Pasuk Tetvav. Shama kinena kipoz vatimaleit. The animal called kipoz, which some of the commentaries say is the kipod, that's probably the porcupine. Now that's where the porcupine finds a place to set up its offspring, to set up its nest. Uvakea vidagera vitzila. And over there, birds can lay their eggs, and they have ample shadow to let their eggs hatch. They're unaffected, no one's going to bother them there. Achsham nikbetsu dayot isha reuta. Over there, the daot, that's another type of bird, the daya. They will also find one another there. That's the place where they'll know they won't be bothered. Dirshu me'al sefer Adonai yukrahu. The Navi says, go open up a Tanakh. Go look at what Hashem describes, the destruction that he will bring to a place that he decides to destroy. Achat meheina lo ne'edara. None of the curses of Torah will be missing. You'll see them all fulfilled in Edom. Isha reuta lo fakadu. The Navi describes that when you go through the curses, one after another, it's like a woman calling her friend, come over. So too, the curses, so to speak, are calling one another. Kifi hu tziva veruho hu kibitzan. Hashem says, because I have commanded this to happen, it is what I command that causes all these wild animals to gather into Edom. Ve'u'ipil la'en goral. Hashem says, I've given this portion to Edom, that this fantastic destruction will overtake Edom. Ve'ado chilekat alahem bakav. Hashem says, I've measured out this punishment to Edom. Ad olam yirashua ledovado yishkenuva. And forever, this is the end of Edom. This is how I'm going to pay off Edom. So that's the conclusion of the prophecy of the destruction of Edom. From here, the Navi goes over to describe the rebuilding of Zion. The next prophecy, where we'll pick up next week, is a happier prophecy, even though this was a happy prophecy, meaning that the destruction of the wicked is also a point of happiness. The Navi moves on to describe the rebuilding of Zion, how Zion will have the opposite effect. It will go from being desolate and desert-like into being a place that's flourishing, a place that's filled with growth. That's what we will learn, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week.